I'm going to introduce myself and where we are and say the date, and then we can start. And I'll ask you also to introduce yourself too.
Okay.
So to get started, I'm Lauren Kelly, and I'm here with Jonah Lang, and we're at Camp Hill Ghent in New York State, and it's July 1st, 2015, and we're here recording today as part of Oral History Summer School's archive. And Jonah, could you introduce yourself?
I'm Jonah Lang. I'm sitting here with my lovely interviewer, Lauren Kelly, who wants to do this for archives, and I'm enjoying it so far.
Good.
And I don't know if I can. I know you, I requested a female.
Oh. So yes.
Are you okay with it?
Yes. Yeah.
You look like you.
Oh no! I just sometimes get nervous doing interviews.
Oh, you do.
Yeah, I do.
Why?
I don't know.
We're supposed to be the ones that are nervous. That's okay.
But yeah. So to begin, could you, Jonah, just tell me maybe a little bit about where you come from?
Well, did a biography on this some time ago too. My first 3 years were, I was born in Lenox Hill Hospital in the city, New York, and for 3 years I lived in the Bronx, and in my father's business, when we went out of the service, he looked for a business bakery, and we found, it was his father's family, we found a place out on Patchogue, Long Island. So we, as a result of that, we moved to Patchogue, Long Island. And then, after 10 years living there, we moved to the next town, Blue Point. And I went to the whole thing?
Anything, yeah.
Okay, well, I went to school. I was, until sixth grade, I was fine. After sixth, I had started having trouble. I don't know what it was. They even took me to the doctor for electroencephalogram to see. There's no negativity there, just, I remember a lot of other trivials. I remember birthdays, I remember license plates, but stuff in school I couldn't grip. Okay, so my parents, and after my freshman year, they were seeking help for me from a therapist and psychologist, and I think a clinical psychologist recommended, I don't know if you know Devereaux, do you know Devereaux in Pennsylvania? Mm-hmm. Two of the people who were the head here interviewed, came to see me before I came up here, and they were familiar with, John asked me how I did in school, and I told him what I just told you. And then Devereaux, and he was familiar with Devereaux. Devereaux was a school where the therapist thought I would get more help. So I went there for the summer just to be evaluated, not really school. And they did some tests there. This is 1959. And they found me too high for them. So they recommended that I get ready for work. And there was an agency in New York City called the Institute for the Crippled and Disabled. Now it's the International Center for Disabled, which test you out and they train you for your field. And then they try to get you jobs. So I did that for a few years in clerical and messenger training. And then I went to work in February 63. I started working. I found a job all by myself by going place to place to place to place. And I found a job. It was really great. They put me right to work. I remember that. And after 1 month of that, they got very slow. I was the last one, so they laid me off. And then I found another job at a color lab doing messenger, and then a photostat place where I did messenger, and then I started doing inside drying, but the chemicals would mess my hands up. Okay. Then I went back to messengering again, and then in 81, I found a job in a mailroom in an insurance company. And I was there for 16 years. And they were very accommodating. I have a physical congenital disability, and I'm not able to do heavy lifting. This is called office services. I'm not able to do heavy lifting. So they worked around me. They worked around me. I wasn't required to lift heavy lifting. Then a company-wide merger layoffs, I got laid off, along with a lot of other people in our mail company. And then again, I started looking. I sent resumes to different places. You know, there's a lot of places called me back and said, no job, they'll hold my resume. Or people I did contact, they'd have a few interviews. But they said to me, are you able to do, I wasn't able to do heavy lifting. And that, they didn't accept that. They wanted somebody to do everything. Even though, if you ask me, are you able to do heavy lifting? I wouldn't just say, no. I would say, no, but I can do other things in the mailroom. That shows you that I am able to work. But they wouldn't accept that. They wanted everybody. I did that for some time, and then eventually I got my disability benefits. So I stayed home and took it easy, retired. And then I lived in Forest Hills way back in 77. Yeah, I moved to my own place in Astoria. It was also Goodwill Industries for the handicapped people. But that neighborhood was so bad that they couldn't get the handicapped to move in, so they opened the doors to and just went in the building. I once got shot one night. I hear boom, a bullet. My head was flush against the wall, bit one side. They boom, they've gone all the way right above my head. So then I moved out of there. My parents found me at a co-op in Forest Hills, later in 86, I moved there. May 86, I got pulled out of the Astoria, and by October, I moved into the co-op. And there, they were nice people there, but then somebody told me that some people here, even though they don't contact me, just the fact I'm living here and I'm disabled makes them uncomfortable. It's ridiculous. What about people who with guns? That's okay, it means. And then, but they didn't, at least they didn't harass me. They didn't come and taunt me. So, and then, I was there for till 2012, where I got pain one night in my back and a muscle, and my family thought coming up here would mean when I start needing more help, I would move over to have care. Right now, I'm doing still fine. I'm still fine over here, doing fine with, except the only is we're in the sticks. When I lived in Forest Hills, I was able to. Everything was right outside the door. The story I had to take the bus to. So I get help, but that's the only disadvantage of it. And then people here are nice, the food is good.
When did you come here?
I came February of 2012. That's soon after they opened.
And can you tell me a little bit more about your life here?
My life here?
Yeah.
Well, there's few people I'm friendly with. Home health aides they're not really in charge of me yet, but we communicate. And I like music. Anytime they have an activity here with music of any kind, I'm joining. We have a few therapists claim to play music. But except lately, I had a little recital yesterday and it's a concert series. And my mind starts to drift. Yesterday I caught myself. But music is one of my big interests. Music and 30s and 40s cars. And both of those, I was in a little child. And I have a very perfect ear for sound. And I don't know if you know this, there's current song by Elton John, The Crocodile Rock, you know that? The first two verses, not kind of the third, because there's two voices. There's one line where he says, a thing called a crocodile rock. On the second, that dial, on the second stanza, it's a little bit, I said, a little bit flatter than the first. You may not be able to tell it, but I can. And Grandma sang when I was little, but we lived in the Bronx, my father was in the service. We lived across the street from my grandma. My mother went to be with him, and she took care of me. And she would sing to me, I was only about two, in Yiddish. And again, my ear picked it up instantly. Is this okay, what I'm telling, all this stuff I'm telling you?
Yes, yeah, I'm really interested in, like, your interest in music. Did you play music as a kid, or were you just really interested?
No, I played, I have records, I have a big collection of old records. I played the bass drum in the school band, and I was playing back home, I played the accordion. I wanted to play the accordion. And my teacher was very accommodating too. He says, fourth, okay, third finger's better for you. Okay, like that. And then the music, and I was going to say something about that. Just my grandma, I can listen to, like, Yiddish, I know some of what it's saying, some of the, now German I know a little bit, but later I have some Russian, I have Hungarian, my clear one had, I don't know what it's saying, but I enjoy the singing. And on some of the clear phrases, I had a Russian neighbor when I lived in the co-op right on my floor. And I would do that, and he thought the same thing. He says, my pronunciation perfect. Because of my good ears. And in the car, that's music, so that's, and the old cars, I started watching when I was two and three in the carriage. So I grew up in the 30s and 40s, and out in Long Island, when I lived in, Astoria, and then when I lived in the co-op, there were shows out there, and I would go out and see them. I got to know, I've been to, right. A few shows I've been up here, a total of, since 1980, 97 shows. And I started, a few up here, I think up here, started with, what number it was? 90 was there, I think. 70 shows, not 96, 77 shows, not 97. So I've been there, and so people in Long Island at those shows got to know me afterward. And everybody there is so friendly. There you have everybody's so friendly, it was like sunshine. And on one year, when I lived in Astoria, they would have the shows right near Astoria Park, right near my house. I could just walk over. And there, is this okay?
Yeah.
Can I say something else? Yeah. My friend, this little girl, Elizabeth, lived here, gave me the flowers. Mm-hmm. The way you just smiled, you look just, looks just like hers. A little bit. So, what was it? Oh, there I had to take the bus to go shopping. So I couldn't really carry that much home. Plus, I guess I was younger, so I was more, I was 1977, I was 34, okay. I was more flexible. So I would get on and come home early, and in the afternoon I would have time to take a walk over to the park, my Astoria Park, if it was a nice day in the spring. And one year, they would have some of the car shows in Astoria Park. There was a show in April of 85, and then they said in June they're having a national meet. So in June I went over there one afternoon, went to the shopping, and I noticed there's just a parking lot. Sometimes people come do sports or stuff, there's cars parked there. I see just a utility truck and nothing. I said, what's going on here? It was right on the Triborough Bridge. They're painting the bridge tomorrow. They're closing off the parking lot. But I said, but there's supposed to be a car show here tomorrow. They said, weather permit, we're painting the bridge. Now, I knew these people. I had these people. I mean, I used to, that's how I was, they got to know me by going to shows. So I go immediately home. Maybe they did know about it. They would have advised me of another site. No, I called them up. I said, you still have a plan to have your show tomorrow in Astoria Park? They said, yes, well, somebody better get cracking. I just told them what happened. They thanked me. They had the permit. The show went on, and the next day I got there, and they said to me, the CHVA, Contemporary Historical Vehicle Association, give us your name and address. We're going to make you an honorary member. And that means I'm on their mailing list for mail, and so it was a good thing. So that was that, and then I moved out. That was story. It was no good. Yes, then I moved out of there. That was awful. So it's all right. Interest.
Definitely. And I'm wondering, could you tell me a little bit more about Elizabeth, who's here, and maybe just tell me about the flowers. That story you just mentioned before we started.
That's a big thing. Elizabeth was friendly with me. She said she moved out because partly it was me. Because of the two environments. I had a man in the forest in my co-op who was threatening me. Like, I'm scared. If we were in my apartment there talking, like right now, he lived underneath me. He was shell-shocked. But every little thing bothered him. He'd be screaming his head off. He called me on the phone. I've got to hire someone to beat you up. That's this co-op now. First is the story. So I come here, and everybody's so nice. That's why I was more emphatic about being with nice people. So that Elizabeth, she's the youngest one of this whole crew. So I would knock at her door. But I never busted in there. I would ask, are you home? Sometimes she'd let me in. I mean, sometimes she's busy. Okay. But that's all. We didn't. She was okay. We never threatened each other. We were on good terms with each other. And what else did she? I can't remember. She didn't do anything really. She transported me someplace once I needed it. And I think that's all I did with her. But she's a nice person. She lives nearby. And still, she comes to concerts once in a while, so I see her, say hello. Yeah, so we didn't have a big, strong thing. But way back when I didn't go right from Astoria to the co-op. You know, you have the lawyer and paper requirements, you have the approval. So I went home, back to Long Island, commuted for a while. And then one day, I got on the train in the morning. I was commuting way back, too. There's Angela. I didn't even know. She took one look at me, and she told herself I looked sad. She had I looked sad. I looked like I needed a friend. So that was, so we would see each other, and then after I moved to Forest Hills, for a while we saw each other every 2 weeks, went out to dinner together. But she was working, she had been divorced, but still going with her ex-husband. And at one point he moved back in with her, and maybe she got busy, and maybe that's why, maybe he didn't want to see me anymore. But she was good, that's a person like that. A lot of people look at me in the street, and some people look at me and they just start to be frightened. They say, my features are different. I can't help that. At one time, when a story, in Forest Hills once, I was on my way to see my friend Roberta. And I passed by this little girl, starts crying. And I turn around to find out what happened. And the mother calls out, you're scared, go away. That, you turn away is one thing, but that's it. That just hurts. That hurts. Except when I was a child, 6 or 7, standing on the corner watching the cars, the little girl comes along and she also starts crying. I scared her, except back then, I was a little kid. I wasn't really a criminal, but delinquent, but I felt I wasn't hurt, but hey, I had a little change of pace instead of watching these cars. Let me antagonize this little girl for as long as I can, a few minutes. It's a different reaction. But I, as good as my memory is, she told me her name, Dolores May Potter. And I kept picturing, you know, when I go to my class reunions, I have trouble recognizing them, my class. My teachers, they have no trouble recognizing me. So I picture her coming to the co-op, looking for an apartment. And it didn't happen. And she's standing in the lobby. And she said, I know you're from someplace. I would tell her that story. She'd probably bust out laughing. And when she said, come on, I'll treat you to cake and coffee. Wouldn't that be some? The little girl was so scared of me. I should treat me to cake and coffee. So then, I have a friend, Roberta, in Forest Hills. We were together for a while. Not, you know, seeing each other. And, first I was working from there, and then when the job laid off, I just went to stay retired life. And that guy underneath me goes to the doorman, he's complaining because I'm home. You don't like it? Go find me a job. I've tried. You can do better. I'd be very grateful to you. But he died. I was nerve-wracked with this guy all the time. So.
Can you tell me a little bit more maybe about music when you were growing up?
Okay. Did all this stuff bother you?
No.
You just want to move on to another deal, okay.
No, I mean, I'd like you to talk about whatever you wanted to. That was just something that I picked up on when you were speaking about music that sounded...
But I'm just telling you a bit, yeah, like that. But it's okay, I mean, all the mm-hmm. stuff I told you,
mm-hmm.
of interest. Music, I just, my parents got me a little phonograph and from a friend they knew was selling out with some children's records. One of them is by Groucho Marx. It's the funniest song in the world. A monkey singing about all these different animals making them. The point was, I think, you don't have to make fun of somebody to have a funny song. Because the last one is something that doesn't even hurt anybody. And they got that for me after I got out of the hospital. I had surgery on my hands. And one night after we got home, they had friends over. I'm up in Visby late at night. And I hear that record they're playing for their friends, probably emphasizing Groucho singing. And I have vintage, Burl Lives, Al Jolson, Paul Robeson. I've got a whole couple collection. I take care of them. And even when I was robbed in Astoria, they kept jumping me at my door. A neighbor advised me, a commuter, put money in an inside pocket someplace, that way you have it. They didn't have enough in the wallet. They started looking behind their records. Normally, you would say, do whatever you want, just don't hurt me. But those records are a big part of my life. I gave them the hidden money and they left and that's it. And I'm out of there and that's it. But my collection of music is a lot of records.
And do you still listen to them now?
Well, I try to. There's a lot of activity. There's not much time. And then my neighbor around the corner, she leaves the door open. I didn't know that to close the door tight, and it's a big difference. So I try to, I don't blast it like a discotheque, but for me it's pretty moderate, but some people, you know, don't like it. So I try, I play, but it's also, I don't have lyrical bang, bang, bang music either. It's just old stuff.
Is there anything else you want to tell me about maybe being here or back on Long Island or in Queens?
Well, we almost finished. Or?
No, I'm just...
I could go on and on and on. I mean, I don't mind being with people, nice people. I'm always Long Island. I used to stand on this. Well, now, before I even came up here, I was taking trips back to Long Island where I grew up. Not Astoria, I want to go there, back there. to look at my old neighborhood and driveways. So I would take the train out to Long Island from Forest Hills. I'd get out there and maybe have a coffee and a bagel, make my trip down Main Street to my block, down to the last cross street, over to the bay, back up to town, and that's it. I'd go home, station. There's a bay out there, I'd just go there. And from Forest Hills, with me, I like to log the old cars in. I have my own terms from when I was a child. I still remember which name goes to which car. So, but I like to get there early so I can try to keep up with everything. And Queens Boulevard is the thorough main thoroughfare. I used to leave my house like 6:30 in the morning on Sunday. And the big difference, you lived in New York?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know Forest Hills, Queens? You know that?
A little bit.
It was such a contrast to see it so quiet on the boulevard 6:30 Sunday morning compared to what it usually is. And that's it. I would get to the train, So, that's all. That's traveling. And my sisters moved. One lives in Carolina, one lives in Bainbridge Island. My mother died a year ago, February. She had dementia. All the siblings, my father's, June 7th, my father turned 100.
Wow.
We have a woman here, you know about Fady.
Mm-hmm.
She's 104 today, and not doing good, I am. But he's, see, okay. used to be a lot drier years ago. So he lives in Westchester Meadows. It's a place like this. You've heard of it in Valhalla?
Mm-hmm.
Just feels silly like this. When my mother was with him too, they had a room and somebody, caretakers come and take care of him. Mm-hmm. And then my father moved to the assisted living portion. And a few weeks ago, even before his birthday, he had a little turn for the worse or something. But he said, if he goes, we should come in together and have the party anyway. But he did, he was there. We got there, my cousins came, my cousins were there, some of their children, my nephews, three nephews. And my father was still in the room. My sister said, come, take a look. He was laying there, oh my gods. Because you don't see each other a long time. And my sister too, she's 68, she's got long grayish curly hair, but it's different. Anyway, then he came out and for a while he wasn't really with it, but then he perked up a little bit. 100. Oh boy.
Wow. And that was just a few weeks ago.
June, beginning of the month, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
And the Amtrak that took this, that's not very, it needs improvement. I can't get up the steps or the big gap between the, you've seen the Amtrak, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You agree? You don't?
Wait, do I what?
Do you agree with what I'm saying?
That gap.
Little back, and some of the ones we have to climb up to get, walk up the steps, some of that things. I did, yeah, it's not, it needs improvement, right? You
mm-hmm.
agree with it?
I think so.
You've seen what I'm talking about? You see, mm-hmm. Okay. With the Long Island Railroad, we used to have a lot of delays, but we're easy to get on. My mother said to me, if you had to I can't raise my arms that high, to please, I couldn't work in the city. I thought, oh, come on. There are plenty of other people who probably can't raise their arms either. The railroads got dirty or cold or hot or delayed, big delays or small delays, but they're not going to stoop so low as to make it impossible to board the train. So, I enjoyed my commuting life, and that's that. And I told you everything, okay, so. What else? Okay.
Do you know, You were talking about cars from the 30s and the 1940s.
Yeah.
Are there particular cars that you were really excited to get to see?
Well,
or just all?
That's like, she looked a little bit like Elizabeth. She had the same color hair as him. Like having a dinner with you or Elizabeth would be help. I wouldn't know which way to go because they're both good. Some of the cars, most of the cars, the same thing. I can't pick one higher than the other. There's some that are lower, but basically there's a bunch of them just even. My interest is even. There's another fellow down the hill. He likes everything. He likes the new ones too. So even when I was home, I would call up and see it on the calendar. And if you were, I would call you up and say, does your show feature 30s and 40s? A couple of them I were lured to, and it wasn't to my liking. My father advised me, don't do that. Of course they want you to come. Now if it's right near my house, I can walk right home. It's not a big... But then after a while, I explained that I don't drive, I come a long distance and this and that. Then they were more upfront with me. Mm-hmm. And then I say, maybe even know me. I describe my, identify myself. And even though I don't know who I'm talking to, he said, oh, I know, sure, I know who you are. Because I would go to all the shows. So, you know, if there's 100, 200 cars, you know, and maybe you get not a lot of, what do you mean not a lot? If it's literally one or two, forget it. If it's 75 or 50, that's good enough for me. But they were pretty much up front with me after that, so thank them for doing that. Mm-hmm. Save me a trip.
I think you said earlier, before we started recording, did you say your birthday was in May? Or did I imagine that?
Well, I didn't say it, but you got it right.
Huh. Maybe you did say it, because I don't know how I would have guessed that. What day in May?
18.
Oh, I have a friend whose birthday that is.
When are you?
June 15th.
Oh, it's just passed recently. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you too. Yours was pretty recent too.
Yeah. You live around here?
No, I come here a few times a year though to work with the summer school.
Yeah. Where do you live though?
In Vermont.
Vermont. Mm-hmm. Because when you were here and you were part of the residence, I got a whole roster of all the birthday people here over here. 15th. Mm-hmm. That's also Gemini. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had a book that blends with this. Naturally, I know that it's you get along with each other. You're married, you're not what your signs are. My parents are Gemini and Virgo, that don't blend. But this guy down below, I asked him, good, Gemini. I don't blend with him. Good, I don't want to blend with him.
Do you keep track of other things around here, like birthdays, or you said you have a little book? Do you keep track of other things?
Not book, just a little piece of paper. Birthday. Just I've been having lately some washout periods where I'm not sick or nauseous, but I just get like washed out for a day. So I marked those. I have a record of that. I mean, that's just for. So I could tell my doctor next time she says just vitamins. I mean. But maybe I just keep a log of that. But that's just for that. I mean, hopefully if it gets resolved, I won't have to keep records. And then I keep records of the cars that I see, and then that's it. That's all I keep records of.
How often is there music here? It's a regular...
Well, music? Well, have you been on the other side yet? Or have you know? I mean, are there other people here today working with you, with different people? There's a fellow in the adult home, his name is Steve. You seen him? So he walks with a walker, has his room, his standing grayish hair. Did you see our dining room on this side? You see that? This dining room on our side here. This side.
Oh, not on the side, I don't think.
There's one on the other. Mm-hmm. Well, Steve plays the piano. Mm-hmm. And we are also friendly with each other. We have much TV with him at night. So once a week, Margaret, you didn't, no, you're just here today, she's off today. So our activities coordinator, and she, we organized books with the old songs, and we gather once a week around the piano with Margaret, and he plays the piano, we sing. And then we have some concerts, we had a little recital yesterday, and a girl comes from, like, her, used to be an opera singer, Juliana, comes once a month to do oldies. And then we did have another therapist, Monica, who's used to come do music with us with rounds, but she's not well, unfortunately. And so we, hopefully she'll be back in the fall. I keep asking about her, but so that's what we, but anything music, I'm there. I was, and Margaret herself was born in South Africa, and she knows German. Now, my collection, I had old South Africans. You're familiar with that, old music songs? And German songs from when Franco was fighting with the fascists in German in Spain. And I played them for her, and she's familiar with some of the Africans, so I know that she likes that, so she came in my, she had some free time, I played them for her. It applies to anybody. I mean, if you had time, you have a particular favorite and I have it, you'd be welcome to come in and listen. Another thing is the story of the robbers, but then also the tenants too. They were disabled. Okay. Well, first of all, you're saying somebody should help you. Normally you get some help, and if you don't, can't you move out? Okay, there's one girl. How do you get on that? Just that. The money, I kept coming after me for about money. I didn't like it. I thought I was going to say something specific about that. Music? I didn't get out to... I can't remember what it was.
You said something about a girl.
Girl?
Yeah.
Which one did I say?
I think you said the robbers in Astoria that were coming for money, and then I think you said something, I may be wrong, something about a girl. And we'd just been talking about music.
Music? African? Okay. I can't remember what it was. Mm-hmm. But, this one girl throws her arms around my neck. I'm a sweetheart. I like when people think of me affectionately that way. But, I should have taken that money back and said, get out. I like people for people, not for their money. Okay. So... I can't remember what it was I was associated with the records and I can't remember what it was I just said about that.
That's okay.
Okay, what's that? Go ahead.
I don't know. Are there other things you want to talk about living here at Camp Hill?
Living here? Well, that's about all. Okay. One thing I could never do also is to be assertive, to raise my voice to, like, I'm a soft, very soft. And one time I didn't have a girlfriend when I worked in the city, and I befriended this homeless woman, Myra, so grungy. And sometimes she'd be nice and friendly with me, sometimes she wouldn't. So we beef barked me, I'd stay away from her. And when she said to me one day, for example, what about all these other girls you know? I said, well, they're not my girlfriends. And I could have said very easily, you think if I had a nice girl, I'd be messing around with someone like you? But I couldn't say it. I'm soft. I just couldn't do it. That's how soft I am. I thought that, I don't know what it was, I can't remember what it was with the association you just made.
Can you tell me about some girlfriends that you've had?
Well, just Lauren. Lauren was very nice, and she lived. She was disabled. She was in bed, and I used to go visit her. And her mother had been divorced, and her mother was, and she was going to marry this other fella. Oh, good, that's a good topic. And then Lauren had told me in camp in 69 where we met. That's the first, that's where we met. And one day she had, and she, all the other people I had before that, I said, Lauren is it. This girl said, she, I love you, I really do. We spent time together. And one day she just had me move to, she had this way of talking low in her voice. And she said, so, but face to face, over the phone is no good. The better the effect is face to face. And I just got so touched. And it was beautiful, but I got very emotional. But then we saw each other the next year again. We started, started visiting her. After the second year, she was in the hospital on with a drug, L-Dopa, which was experimenting with a monitor in the hospital. So every week I went to see her in the hospital. And then eventually I started going to see her at home. Took her out with me a couple of times with a guest with a group organization thing with Federation of the Handicapped. We were on trips, I took her as my guest. And way back when in camp, she says if her mother marries this fellow, she's moving out. Apparently that didn't materialize. She married the other fella, and they're separated now too, I heard way back. And she, so since her, she was very depressed about things. You know, it's like, and then, also one day, I see, like right now, I'm talking to you freely. Freely right now, because nobody's standing here listening. Otherwise, I'd be a little more, you know. So, one day, I got to Lauren's house, and her mother was going out. They went out. And she had a nurse, but she was on vacation, so a young girl was taking care of her, a younger person with more romance understanding. And Lauren was letting herself go a little more, see, freely, a little bit more freely, because of, and that made me feel good. I mean, especially since I got there late, and every day her moods would be different. And I just said, so I had missed my train, I thought she better be in a good mood. And it worked out okay. And then, I'll tell you about that. This is my, then one day I went to visit her, sometime later, and there's this other guy there. She's actually like not even there. And that hurt, that really, yeah, see, you don't think back to it. He said he's staying for dinner. He's thinking about what he might have done after you have it. Why didn't I just leave? No, I stayed there, really, that. You know, emotionally you can hurt more than physically, even if physical is, I once fell off a moving train, Jamaica Station, clunk. That hurt more than that. Okay, so then my mother advised me, don't call, she wants you to call and apologize. So it never happened again, I don't know what. But then, sometime back, later, I called to see how things were, and her father's married, remarried too. This is years later, that she had died, because her illness got worse. And I told, one day I was sitting with Elizabeth in the sun area over there, and here, right around the corner from here. And I told her that possibly, maybe, that, you know, like you don't know right now what's going to happen when you leave here. You know, a car can run her leg and just smash into, make a dent in your car, you don't know. But something like that, maybe the doctors told her mother that her condition, what it is, maybe they knew that in a short time she'll be gone. So maybe that whole thing was a stage up instead of, as is a possible theory, where staging, where instead of me seeing her get all continuous, and one day I come off the train, my mother said, Joan, I have some very sad news. Lauren died. Would have been a blow. This way, it would, if that is a fact of what happened, I don't know, but maybe this would soften to them and who said Lauren passed away, the impact wasn't that hard. So possibly that could have been the reason. When I was in camp in the mountains at lake, we were swimming. And that's, I can't jump in right away. I got step by step. And that's cold. But one day we had swimming instruction before our bunk. And they had my weight back on the grass with my feet over the dock. I looked up at the sky and I panicked. There was a panic. I don't know what panic, like a phobia. So much that when it got to the water, my feet were damp from the panic, so my feet were clammy already. So the contrast, same thing, when it hit the water, it wasn't as a great contrast. So that's then I met a friend, Roberta, in Forest Hills, widowed, older woman, about my age. We met at a pizza place, and that was 1989. Wow. 1989? Yeah. So we'll be now? Oh boy, it'll be a long time. And she asked me, do I live alone? Was I married? This and that. She'd been married. She doesn't like to be out at night. She lived not far away. So I said, would you like me to walk you home? It was a Thursday night. She said, when would you like to see each other again? And then that started for good while.
About how long did you think that? How long were you and Roberta
together?
Yeah.
Well, I guess till I came up here. Was it? I can't remember now. Yeah, 1989. And my parents had a friend, and then my father's telling me, he told us, Jonah has a woman friend, it's been a year already. And we had good times.
Can you tell me a little bit about your name? Are there any stories
about
your name?
What was that show? Was that this?
No, I think that was something. It sounded like maybe someone's cell phone.
Oh, that was okay.
Yeah. That's
what about my name?
Yeah, if there's any stories you know about how you were named or anything that you can think of about
your name. Don't know
about
that. I know it's biblical. When I was a kid, they called me Tim. My mother said, Commissar Timoshenko, but I don't know how they made the dissociation. And in the Bronx, everybody called me Tim, Timchi. We came out to Long Island, and it continued a little while longer. But then my parents, my uncle, and our dad started calling me Jonah. And then we go back to the Bronx for a visit where my grandma was, and their family still remembers me as Tim. And you're growing up, you feel, my name is Jonah. Then when I was about 13, a woman in my father's bakery called me Tim. Now I'm grown, now it's nice to hear somebody still remembers me. And then a friend of my parents still did it, and it didn't bother me anymore after that. But there's a Jewish joke, I don't know if you know it. You know Jewish at all? There's a little boy at home has always been called Bubba, as a little child, Bubba. Then he goes off to, at least I established my name before I went to school. So I come home from school, so Bubba, why don't you learn school the first day? I learned my name is Ivy. You know, you do, Lauren. You have her, my friend's name is Lauren, I tell you, her name was Lauren too.
Oh, Elizabeth.
This girl was sick, her name was Lauren. But you resemble Elizabeth a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, smart. She was nice. So, that's it. I mean, that's my name and anything else? I love this. I'm having a good time.
Good. What are there other things you'd like to talk about? Could be anything.
I don't know, I mean,
What do you think about this area, Chatham and Ghent, this part of New York?
What do I think of it?
Yeah.
Well, it's pretty nice. I mean, yeah. I don't have any comfort or discomfort about it. It's just a place I live here, and that's it. I can't believe I talked myself out. I usually have so much to talk about. Except lately, when I go to these, sit in front of these concerts, I have this tendency, my mind tends to drift. And yesterday it was happening again. I love music, my mind drifting. And I caught myself and came back to focus again.
When you said your mind was drifting, were you thinking about anything specific?
No, just back to home stuff and this and just stuff like some basic stuff like we just talked about, stuff like that, far away and imaginary thoughts, pleasant imaginary thoughts. I mean, when I was 10, near my house in Long Patchogue, not far away is a house under construction. And I used to watch the men work. And the mason was there with his dump truck one day. He asked me if I wanted to help him shovel. He was shoveling sand with his truck. He asked me if I wanted to help. I worked with him. He gave me 3 cents. Back then, my father would come home late because back then we were going up to bed early when I was a lot younger. But I thought it was such a big thing. I left him a note. I left my father a note that on his desk that what happened. I went to the new house and I helped him shovel, gave me 3 cents. And when my parents were moving out of Long Island to come up to here, to their place, we went and took everything. They've taken everything down from their memoirs and we collected things from their house. We brought out some Mexican tiles here. My father brought back from the service. One thing, my sister's letters from camp and that note, I think I have some buried somewhere in my thing now someplace, that note that I had written about the sand. But even now I have imaginary thoughts about it, like what might have, we're thinking back on it, what might that man have done instead? You know, he might have said, you know, you did a really fine job. You did a fine job, you really did. 1:30, he had his lunch. I've had my lunch. Right now he wants to have a little break with a cup of coffee. Would you like to come with me? I'll treat you to a malted or something. But it didn't happen, it's just an imaginary thought.
You talked about a lot of really interesting things today.
Yeah. Like the other night, for example, there was supposed to be tea time, snack time, and we didn't have an official snack time here. So I was on the other side, and Lynn was in the room, and I was asking about at one of the residents' rooms. I'm outside. And she calls out to me, I really am feeling uncomfortable. And that hurt. That hurt a little bit because she's nice. I mean, I don't like to make people uncomfortable. There used to be a this is, it can happen if I talk about something. And I like, when I'm up, like even a few weeks ago, there was one of the therapists or the home health aides burst into tears in the dining room. And then a couple of days ago, last week, she said her mother and father had been sick. And I'm wondering if that's what was. Now, I feel for it. They say they don't want to talk about it, but I care. Even if you start suddenly sitting here and started crying, I care. I care about that. If I was in the car show and it happened, I wouldn't know. But and if I were upset and they came to ask me what happened, I wouldn't tell them to get out. Because I care about people. I used to folk dance. I used to go folk dancing in the city. And then everybody there got to know me, got to know people. It was one, it was election night of 1975, I remember, where Ellen was there. And she didn't talk to me, but we didn't have very big conversations all the time. There were people that were nice, and she was, they were most. And one first, she, there was a dance that there was a teacher used her to show the dance. And she got upset because of doing it with somebody else. And then at the end of the evening, she wanted to say something to us. I was at the YMCA in the city. I used to stay there. I didn't have to go home. So we come out. Well, first I'd say I saw her doing some of a dance step to the music. It looked so beautiful. And I complimented her. Those movements look so loving. She says, "Who says?" I say, "I say." But then, okay, then later comes this thing with the teacher, and she says, "I want to say something to you." And she tells me, this is outside, very cold, "Excuse me, Jonah." And I walk on to the corner. I stayed right there. I didn't have to travel. I stayed, but I came out. And I round the corner. I see Ellen coming behind me. She comes around the corner, breathing hard, like she must have just talked. And I say, "Ellen, like me with you too. Let it out. You'll feel better." And she said she was so mad, and "Let's go for a walk." And I walked into the, first she said she didn't want to talk about it, but she talked it out, and by the time I walked into the train, she felt better. So that made me feel good too. That's how I am. If I see people upset, I feel for them.
Well, yeah, I think if there's anything else you'd like to say, or we can wrap this up. I've really appreciated hearing all that you had to say.
Thank you. I did too.
Good. Would you, in the future, if the school has people coming here to do interviews, would you want to be interviewed by someone again?
Maybe.
Okay.
Would you come back?
Yeah, I think I might.
I think I talked my whole life out. Although one day in the street, I was working as a messenger, and a girl passed me by. She looked a little sad. And I turned around and I say, "Excuse me." I said, "No, don't be afraid. First I have a disability, and I'm working. I'm not going to." And I said, "You looked a little sad." This is after the Ellen, with Ellen. And I said, "But sometimes if you talk it out, you feel better." Because I felt for her too. You know, when you know someone, that's just a little more. Mm-hmm. And that's how I am. I just care.
Yeah, I can tell. All right. I think that was a really great talk.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, Jonah.
You're welcome.